From Philadelphia, it's Torah Talk. Hello everyone, I'm Michael Karasik, and this week we are reading Parshat Kedoshim, Leviticus 19 and 20. Next year, Acharemot and Kedoshim will be back together, but they are separate this Jewish leap year. And I want to start out by looking at Leviticus 20. I'm going to read to you about a paragraph's worth, starting in Leviticus 20:10. If a man commits adultery with a married woman, committing adultery with another man's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall be put to death. If a man lies with his father's wife, it is the nakedness of his father that he has uncovered, the two shall be put to death. Their blood guilt is upon them. If a man lies with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall be put to death. They have committed incest. Their blood guilt is upon them. If a man lies with a male as one lies with a woman, the two of them have done an abhorrent thing. They shall be put to death. Their blood guilt is upon them. If a man marries a woman and her mother, it is depravity. Both he and they shall be put to the fire, that there be no depravity among you. If a man has carnal relations with a beast, he shall be put to death, and you shall kill the beast. If a woman approaches any beast to mate with it, you shall kill the woman and the beast. They shall be put to death. Their blood guilt is upon them. Well, you no longer have to be a long-time listener. You could have been listening last week to know that scholars think the priestly voice we are hearing in Leviticus chapters 17 through 26 is different from the voice in chapters 1 through 16. This voice this week is the voice that scholars call the Holiness Code, or H. Kedoshim means holy. It's from the beginning of Leviticus 19. Be holy, for I am holy. But we also now have, within this Holiness Code voice, a lot of things being repeated in chapter 20 that it seems like we've already read about in chapter 18. Chapter 18 is full of sex crimes which you don't want to commit because you don't want to be like the Canaanites and get thrown out of Eretz Yisrael for doing them. But there was one crime in there that is not apparently a sex crime, and that was giving your child to Molech. Here in Leviticus 20, although we haven't heard them yet, there are a bunch of other things that you can do other than having sex with someone you're not supposed to, for which you are killed, and for which your blood guilt is upon you. And that's the phrase I want to start out at looking at today. I'm going to start with Rashi's comment, and the medieval comments are coming from not one of the verses I've read to you, but an earlier verse in the chapter that we'll get to in a moment. His blood guilt is upon him. Rashi says this phrase is used here to indicate what it indicates wherever it is used. He is to be killed by stoning. This we learn from verse 27. But the straightforward sense of the phrase is as in Joshua 2:19. His blood will be on his head. No one is punished for his death but he himself, for he caused himself to be killed. Rashi's grandson Rashbam says, likewise, his blood is on his own head. He has condemned himself to death. And Gersonides, literally translating the Hebrew phrase damav bo, his blood is in him. He must not live long enough for nourishment to produce more blood. All the blood that is in him now, bo, damav bo, is all there ever will be. That's a very surprising, and I'm embarrassed to say, a little bit amusing comment from Gersonides. I think Rashi and Rashbam are more like it, along with the JPS translation, not blood, because it's not a singular word, dam. It is the plural word, damim. And JPS translates it as blood guilt. Some of you will know that that phrase, damim, is in Genesis 4 and the story of Cain and Abel as well. Well, I read you 1, 2, 3, 4 cases using the phrase, their blood guilt is upon them, demehem bam. There are two more similar cases here in Leviticus 20, verse 9. That's what the commentators were talking about. Not a sex crime at all. If anyone insults his father or his mother, he shall be put to death. He has insulted his father and his mother. His blood guilt is upon him. Damav bo. Again, it's not damo, his blood, singular, but damav, his damim, plural, is bo, in him. And verse 27, a man or a woman who has a ghost or a familiar spirit shall be put to death. They shall be pelted with stones. That's how Rashi understands that the use of this phrase always tells us that's the kind of capital punishment you get for this. They shall be pelted with stones. Their blood guilt shall be upon them. Demehem bam. So here is Baruch Levine from the JPS Torah Commentary, first on verse 9, Hebrew dam, blood, and the plural damim often connote the death penalty. And he points you to a case in Deuteronomy involving murder simply referred to as dam, blood. The text that I clipped and pasted from the Anchor Bible says Deuteronomy 18:18. I don't think that's correct. Maybe 17:8 is where he was pointing you, but you can look at the handout and think more about that. In verse 27, the man or woman who has a ghost or a familiar spirit, Levine says, the insertion of this verse at the conclusion of chapter 20 is rather puzzling, since it seems to be an afterthought. Its addition here may have been occasioned by the omission of the death penalty from the earlier reference to this subject in verse 6. What is verse 6? If any person turns to ghosts and familiar spirits and goes astray after them, I will set my face against that person, capital M, this is God speaking, and cut him off from among his people. Verse 27 says, a man or woman who has a ghost or familiar spirit shall be put to death, and demehem bam, their blood guilt shall be upon them. Well, here's Baruch Schwartz in the Jewish Study Bible on chapter 20 as a whole. It's a single speech, he says, introduced in verse 1 and divided into four parts. First, penalties for Molech worship, verses 2 through 5, like in chapter 18. Number 2, exhortation, verses 7 through 8. Did you hear one was missing? Number 3, a series of prescribed penalties for sexual and other crimes, verses 9 through 21. Number 4, verses 22 through 26. Two appendices dealing with conjuring up the spirits of the dead have been placed at the conclusions of sections 1 and 4, respectively, verses 6 and 27. And he actually does have an explanation for the difference between verses 6 and verse 27. In verse 27, he says, the death penalty is prescribed for those who have ghosts and familiar spirits. But verse 6 is about the people who consult those people. Thus, says Schwartz, the providers are punished by death. The consumers are punished by karet, being cut off. And he puts to rest in the Jewish Study Bible, which I encourage everyone to turn to, lots of the explanations for why chapter 18 and chapter 20 seem to overlap and why they really both belong there. He says, no, the compilers of H, in their endeavor to include as much legislation as possible, preserved and included overlapping and contradictory compositions without harmonization. This illustrates the reverence ancient authors had for texts that they inherited from earlier bearers of tradition. And that's a good explanation to keep in mind whenever you are evaluating the comments of Baruch Schwartz. Now back to our ostensibly smaller question today about this phrase, his blood guilt is upon him, damav bo. And here is Jacob Milgram. This idiom is attested only in this chapter and in Ezekiel 18:13. It's synonymous with damo berosho, literally his blood, damo, is on his head, berosho, in Joshua, Kings, and also in Ezekiel. The latter idiom uses the singular dam and implies that the metaphor is probably based on the primitive belief that the blood of the illicitly slain refuses burial but encircles the head of the slayer as if to call out, this is the murderer. I have to say that's a very bizarre belief for me to picture, a kind of a blood halo around the guy. Anyway, Milgram continues, the former idiom, however, uses, but not always, the plural damim, which may indicate an attempt to alter the concrete notion of blood to the abstract concept of blood guilt. Another scholar, however, maintains that the concrete meaning is intended. The fear of automatic retribution persists. The blood of the slain, and presumably the slain's spirit, will hound the murderer until he too is slain. Very, very hard to think ourselves back into the era when these phrases, which even in our biblical text may be metaphorical, grew from something in real life. Milgram continues, finally, this idiom also implies that the death penalty will befall the miscreant whether or not the elders put him to death. The death sentences prescribed in verses 9 through 16 are therefore parallel to that explicitly stated for Molech worship. In verses 4 and 5, unless the authorities execute the convicted party, God will. Another scholar also includes the intervening case, inquiry of the dead, that's our verse 6, in this category. However, the specified penalty there is karet, and human action is by implication forbidden. Karet is something that God does to you. One more stylistic note that may explain our phrase. I'll leave it up to you to evaluate. Again, from Milgram, this idiom, his blood guilt is upon him, damav bo, or bahem, in them. This idiom is found in the capital cases specified in verses 11, 12, 13, and 16, but it's missing, as you noticed, in verses 10, 14, and 15. In the latter, however, the mot yumat clause, he must be put to death, is followed by a rationale. This is not true in our verse. That is, Milgram is saying, if the death penalty is followed by a rationale, you don't have to say their blood guilt is upon them. If it isn't, you do. But in verse 9 that he's commenting on, it is followed by a rationale. Possible reason is that this initial case sets the pattern for those that follow. Even where a rationale seems to have replaced the Damavbo clause, the latter is understood. All executioners of the court's death penalty should have no fear of human or divine retribution. Actually, if you read carefully, it's a little bit more complicated than that. Well, as you heard, this phrase also occurs only one other time in the Bible, in Ezekiel 18:13. Someone who has lent at interest or exacted interest, shall he live? He shall not live. If he has committed any of these abominations, he shall die. He has forfeited his life. That's the extremely strange JPS translation of the Hebrew phrase, Damav bo yihyeh. Literally, his blood's damav upon him, or in him, bo, shall be yihyeh. He has forfeited his life. Okay, and there's another expression in Ezekiel 33. We talked about Ezekiel 33:4, but in Ezekiel 33:5, his blood guilt shall be upon himself, damo bo. His blood singular shall be bo upon him. And in fact, as you can see, if you have a look at the rest of the handout, this concept is expressed in other words in a number of places in the Bible. Just a sampling, Hosea 12:15, Ephraim gave bitter offense, and the Lord cast his crimes upon him, damav alav, on him, literally upon him, not bo in him. And I should warn you that Ezekiel 12:15 and the next verse as Hosea 12:15 and the next verse as well are marked meaning of Hebrew uncertain. 2 Samuel 1:16, David said to him, your blood be on your own head, al rosh ha, blood is plural there. 1 Kings 2, the Lord will bring his blood guilt down upon his own head, al Rosho, dam is singular there. And Exodus 22, verse 2, if the sun has risen on him, the guy who broke into your house, whom you killed, there is blood guilt in that case, damim lo. So our expression that there's blood or bloods connected with someone, and that's to do with whether they can be killed or not, or should be killed or not, is not that unusual, but our particular idiom is restricted to that one occurrence in Ezekiel, or twice, depending on how you count, and to Leviticus 20, not found in Leviticus 18, also in the Holiness Code, and also containing some of the same crimes that are mentioned in Leviticus 20 that incur blood guilt. I don't have any more serious answers for you than you can find by looking at the various scholarly commentaries, ancient and modern. I just want to remind you, as is often the goal of the podcast, the closer you look at the Bible, the more complicated it is. I will be back again with you to complicate the Bible once more next week for Parshat Emor. Until then, this is Michael Karasik saying thank you for listening.